Good job, David. I didn't know if you were going to hit that high note or not, but you got it. And all of you joined together with him in doing it, and we're thankful and grateful that you did. So good to see everyone tonight. It's been a beautiful day. The Lord has blessed us again with an opportunity to meet as a church family tonight. And then following this period of worship, we'll all go out to the activity building where we'll have an opportunity to participate in a sandwich supper and recognize and honor our young people who are such a big, big, vital part of our congregation here. And we hope that all of you will stay. It will mean a lot to the young people and their parents that have worked so hard. You know, we all understand the importance of guardians, don't we? We keep hearing we need more guards down on the Texas border. We keep hearing that, guards are so necessary today. We hear it in every arena of life. Who would ever think that we would have to have guards at a church building to protect innocent people who have come into the house of God to honor him? But we know that it happens. And by the way, because of that little war that was taking place last night with the Iranians, we're told that all the houses of worship today have been on guard. And we know, according to 1 Timothy 6:20, the Bible says that we are to guard that which God has committed unto our trust. Well, in the book of 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul again says, to be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. He says, be courageous and be strong. Now, if you were to go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, you would look at that spiritual attire that we are to adorn ourselves with as God's children, simply because we are guardians. You are a guardian. I am a guardian. You might call us all a part of the security team. We are. Now, if you want to think about a message for this week, I hope that you will go back and think about this. In 1 Timothy 6:20, O Timothy, keep that which committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. We are messengers of God, and we are also guardians of the truth. Several years ago, there was a publication that was entitled Guardian of Truth. And sometimes they would pick up on everything that was going on in the brotherhood of our Lord. Well, there are four areas tonight where I think that we must be on guard. We're all real concerned about what terrorists might do or what people might do. They break into your home. They steal your car. They take your life for just pennies. And so we have to be on guard at all times. And the Bible teaches that there are things. One of them is that Christians must be guardians of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 1. Now, the reason that Paul mentioned that is the fact that there were those who had turned away from the gospel of Jesus, and they were preaching things that God did not teach. If you go back and look at these things, I don't know why this is doing this, but in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which has been preached unto you, let him be accursed, or let him be anathema. That's just one of the things. You know, the gospel, and we sing that song all the time, don't we? Into our hands the gospel has been given. Think about the fact that God has entrusted his gospel to us. And then in that song, it says, what are we doing every day with the gospel? Are we sharing it with other people? Are we trying to make sure that it is not perverted? We certainly have to do that in the body of Christ. And so he says, to make sure that no other gospel has been declared unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there's actually another thing that we must be on guard. And that is, as Christians, we must guard the church of the Lord Jesus. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16 and verse 13, Paul mentions that. But one of the great passages, I think, that tell us of how important it is for us to be guardians of the church is the address that took place between Paul and the elders from Ephesus down at a little town called Miletus. And you can read about it over in Acts chapter 20. And the Bible says that while they were there, he told the elders to feed the flock over which the Holy Ghost had made them overseers and to protect the flock from wolves coming in and entering in among the sheep. The sheep, of course, being the children of God, wolves being those who are demonic. Well, we know also that we are to watch and stand fast in the faith. He says, quit you like men, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. But then he mentions another. He said, Christians must guard the worship of the church. And that's a big one, you know, because there are so many people in today's world who have abandoned the pattern for worship itself, and they have started following the ways of the world. The Bible teaches us that we are to worship in God's way. In the book of John, the 4th chapter and verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We're to worship God's way, not the way that we feel. I've heard so many people say, well, it just makes me feel so good if we do it with instruments. It makes me feel so good if I can just go ahead and just experience free expression of faith. Wherefore, Hebrews 12:28 says, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us, he says, have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. You know what that means? That we're to worship him, we're to honor him, and every time we come together, it shouldn't be about us. Too many people today think that worship is about them. A lot of times people forget that we're here to worship God primarily. I know that secondarily we are to sing and admonish one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. And if you want to go over to the Colossian letter, Paul says that we are to sing with grace in our hearts unto God. But we are to worship in God's way, and we have to guard that. You know, if you have elders in the church that don't know the difference between true worship and that which is against God, you got a real problem. And that's what we have in a lot of places today. The Bible says that we're to go back and ask for the old paths wherein we should be walking and standing with God. God has not changed. And what he commanded for us to do in terms of worship, by the way, that's why we do what we do. Every Lord's Day or on a Sunday night, we gather here as assembled Christians for the purpose of worshiping and glorifying God. And that's why we sing, because the Bible teaches us to do it. You've heard the word a cappella, and that's vocal, you say, but actually the definition of the word a cappella means as the church sang. You can look it up. As the church sang. It is a Latin word, and it means unaccompanied, that we are to sing him. We blend our voices together in hymns of praise. And we do that because we are guardians of that which is true. Now, not only do we do that in terms of singing, we do it in terms of praying. We don't pray in the name of anyone else. We don't pray in the name of a departed saint, but we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ taught that if anything you ask in my name, believing, you shall receive. It's true when we give, when we take the Lord's Supper. We're to discern what is going on. It's not a flippant thing. I've heard preachers, and I was in a debate one time with a denominational preacher, and I asked him the question. I said, well, why do you not take the Lord's Supper every Sunday as they did in biblical times? And he says, well, it just becomes so commonplace. It loses its meaning if we do it every week. I thought, what a flippant explanation. You know, if it becomes commonplace, the problem is not with taking the Lord's Supper, but the problem rests with us whose heart is not right before God. You could say that same thing about worship. Well, we're just going to come once a month because it becomes commonplace if you do it every Sunday. I did ask this preacher, however, I said, well, do you take up a contribution every Sunday? He said, oh, yeah, we take up a contribution. I said, why would that not be commonplace with people as well? Well, you don't understand. No, I understood. I understood well. I know one thing that we do have to guard, and we must guard our hearts, according to Proverbs 4 and verse 23. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that's precisely what the Bible teaches. To keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We are guardians of our heart. We have to be very, very careful that God has been committed to our trust. And what do we do with Him? What are we doing with God? Well, there are so many, many more things that we could talk about here tonight. We're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 through 7. We must seek to be guardians of the truth. 1 Chronicles 16:29. Give to the Lord the glory that is due to Him. Bring an offering and come to Him and worship Him in the way that God has designed. To me, that's such an important thing. And I hope that all of us this week will understand our role actually as a guardian of truth. God has placed within you opportunities. He's already working behind the scenes right now, giving us opportunities that we'll have this week to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And I've told you many, many times from this pulpit that our going to heaven is based upon whether or not we are willing to accept the gospel. For 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9 says, though we are an angel, preach some other gospel, let him be anathema. And Paul says that he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, if someone is mentally disturbed or people that have mental issues going on, I understand why those people wouldn't really be accountable, and I don't think God holds them accountable. But I think when we have a mind that enables us to think rationally about what we ought to be doing and what we are doing, I think that God does hold us accountable for what we do. And I hope tonight that you'll ponder over these things that we've talked about. Remember that you're a guardian of the gospel. You're a guardian of the church of the Lord Jesus. You're a guardian of the church. We all have to do that. That's not just a role of those of us who are elders, but it's a responsibility of every one of us. You know, you get somebody in among your flock who are teaching things that are contrary to the doctrine of Christ. Demas was one of them. Diotrephes was another one. And John wrote about those. Alexander the coppersmith was one also. And you know, Apollos was doing it simply out of ignorance. And the Bible says that Priscilla and Aquila took him aside and taught him more perfectly the will of God. Remember, we are under, as we were singing that song a moment ago, the banner of the cross. And we're God's army. We're His children. And tonight, if you feel that perhaps maybe you haven't served God effectively and obviously very faithfully, I hope you would repent and make a change in your life that is so necessary to pleasing God. Jeremy kept mentioning in the prayer tonight how we want to please God, and we should want to please Him. And if you're not a Christian tonight, then why not honor Him? Why not please Him by surrendering your life to Him and becoming a soldier of Jesus, our Lord? by being baptized for the remission of your sins and raised to walk in newness of life while we stand and while we sing.